Hello and welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway.
I'm John.
And I'm Besha.
And I'm Kate.
Yay!
Hooray! Welcome to the podcast of ideas from one ridiculous man. I have been writing my ideas down as they come to me for about a decade, and I feel like at some point there's got to be a good one in there somewhere, and we're just going to explore my back catalog with my lovely co-host Besha and our lovely guest Kate, and I'm your lovely host.
And maybe you, lovely listeners, can make some money off these ideas.
But only if you give us a cut.
Yes. But first off, let's just find out how we've been doing lately. Besha, what's been going on in your world?
Well, I forgot my headphones on the way over here, so I had to sing Hamilton to myself instead of listening to it on BART, and I got real mad.
I still have managed to avoid exposure to Hamilton. I know it's going to have to happen eventually.
You're fucking up your life, man.
You are missing some important cultural touchstones. How are you going to stay relevant?
Why are you throwing away your shot?
It's just that it's one of those things where I don't know any casual Hamilton fans.
There are no casual Hamilton fans.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is I'm just you know, like, eventually I will be absorbed. It's going to happen. It's not that I'm against musical theater. I've got too many things to be a rabid fan of right now.
And the nice thing about Hamilton is it's not like getting sucked into seven seasons of The Wire or whatever. Like, you can listen to it, and then you'll want to listen to it again. But it's not... You don't have to wait for it until you've broken a leg and you're bedridden.
That's true. That's actually exactly how I got into The Wire. I didn't break a leg, but I was very sick.
Yeah.
And there was like a special on Amazon where, like, you could buy the box set for like $50. And so I had bought it previously, and it had been sitting on my shelf for years, probably.
And then you binged.
It was time. It was time for The Wire. So eventually it will be time for Hamilton. It's going to happen.
How are you, Kate?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm on a novel drafting death march right now, so I'm really happy to be taking a few hours out of hell life to do this with you guys.
Amazing. Do you want to share any details of what your novel is about?
Trees and magic.
Amazing.
Saw somebody retweeted recently, writing is just like reading, except the book is trying to kill you. Would you say that is
Yeah, that's definitely accurate.
Okay, yeah. I had a nasty feeling that was the case.
So I've got, all of the ideas that I have recorded in my little notebooks over the years, and now in Evernote, I've put them into a spreadsheet that we're just going to sort of scroll through at random and look at. They've all been vaguely categorized by things like service, product, business, story, party, and we're just going to go through it and see what strikes Kate's fancy, what she would like maybe some explanation on, because I've sure got some weird ones in there. Right now we're looking at the service portion of the spreadsheet.
So John, tell me about Eternal Gravestone Highlight Reel.
Ah, okay. So this is, I feel like, something that would be definitely appropriate for people of our age and perhaps younger, where, you know, like, it's a video screen that's embedded in your gravestone. And it just...
That was not what I expected.
And it just shows a loop of some of, like, your best moments, you know? Videos, like, photos that were especially great that you happened to be in. You know, like, videos, I think, you know, vines that you were... Mm-hmm. were, you know, just, like, it would be... I think it would be a loop, and it would just continually go, and it would just be there until the screen itself wore out.
Oh, my gosh. What if there was... what are those little squares that have squares inside them, and then you hold your phone up to them?
A
QR code. So what if there was a QR code?
Yes!
And then...
That would be lower maintenance, for one thing.
Well, the person visiting your gravestone could then get a link to all of your best Twitter rants on Spotify.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, I added value there.
Yeah, and to your vines. And
yeah.
To,
Yeah, so it'd be sort of like about.me for after you die.
Cool.
Which, I mean, that would make sense to me. Shit.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I'll link to my
Your
Amazon
brand
page.
Continues.
Yeah. Buy my book. I'm dead.
Yeah. Scan this QR code. All right, that's just going in
there
now.
That's so much slower maintenance. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That's great. Excellent.
So I see the sex answer hotline on here.
Okay.
And I have some bad news for you, which is that this exists.
That totally exists, which is great, because, yeah, that you know, like, people randomly have questions about
yep.
things, and maybe they don't want to ask their friends.
Gonna tell our listeners, San Francisco sex information will give you answers. However, we don't give advice. So you can call up and say, how do I do this thing, or what is this thing?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, should I do this? We're like, only you can tell yourself that. We did once have someone call in to ask how to get his girlfriend to loan him money. And she was in the background going, no, don't, give me that phone back. Give me that phone back. And we brought it around. Eventually we were like, no, this is a sex information hotline.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we have sex. But we also literally have t-shirts to say, I am sex answer, because we used to get emails that say, I am sex question.
What if there was a sister phone line that was just like a relationship 311?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like my boyfriend's trying to get me to loan him money.
What do I do?
What do I do?
DTMFA.
I wonder if I have...
Exactly.
If I have any other hotline ideas... Nope, just that one. All right. Fair.
So many of these I love.
Kate, well, give us one. Give us one that's caught your attention.
Nerd brothel : the future.
Okay, let me think about this one for just a second because I don't remember. What?
To me, it sounds like an anonymous sex club for nerds.
I think what it is basically just a nerd-themed brothel where, like, it's...
Oh, that's horrible.
Look, I mean, you know that there's a market for it, though. Where, like, for
so you
shy
get
nerds...
the Taurus?
Yeah, basically. Where it's, yeah, or like just kind of some sort of anonymous cyberpunk-type future for you know, people who played a lot of...
What if you could dress up as Lee in Starbuck?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Plane.
The licensing, I mean, it would be impossible. You'd have to do it on the DL.
What if you could dress up as YT?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to do it all on the DL, but basically, yeah, it's a nerd brothel where every room in it has a theme, and, you know, all of the workers, maybe, like, they have costumes.
Sure.
You know.
I mean.
Yeah.
I know a lot of nerdy sex workers.
I think this
could happen.
You know, you changed my mind, John.
Yeah.
I'm down with this idea now. I would go, like, the Utena room would be really good.
Wait, which room?
The Utena. Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Oh, the one who turns into a car.
A sword.
Damn it, I was that
the
close.
The brothel where you can get into arguments about what's canon.
It's my favorite one.
Excellent. What else? What else have we got? Do we want to keep looking around in the sex and service zone?
I do like treatment center for people with poor dating standards.
That's just that's almost self-explanatory.
Yeah, I don't know how
to implement it is the only problem, right?
So like, what would happen? Like, you have a friend who only dates shitty guys, so you give her this address and say, go here. But you don't tell her what it is.
Yeah.
And then she gets there and it's like a mental health facility where they don't let you out?
That would almost have to be it, because I don't know how to implement it. I just know that it's a thing that should exist.
Welcome to this fun coffee shop where someone comes up and asks you questions about your romantic life and then says, you date assholes. No, your friend didn't pay me to say that.
I mean, how do you break somebody of that habit is a question. Is it even a habit? Can we call it a habit?
You can't, maybe.
For some people.
It's a proclivity, maybe?
You just gotta let people make their bad choices.
That's true, unfortunately.
What if their bad choices are actively affecting their lives?
Well, that's too... They should have made better choices.
I suppose that's... That's...
I mean, have you... Okay, has that ever worked out for you?
I...
Listen, I have dated so infrequently that I don't know that it was even possible for me to make bad choices.
But has it worked for you to tell a friend that they're making bad choices?
Oh.
About any area of their life?
I suppose no.
I have found that the most effective thing is simply to say, look, I love you, and we are friends. I think your boyfriend's an asshole.
So don't talk about him anymore while I'm here.
And that's all I'm going to say, and I love you, and we'll support you.
I do remember doing something to like that with you.
No, it was way less diplomatic than that. I believe what you said was... Well, the word asshole came out, and also boundary-pushing alpha nerd, which was a pretty accurate characterization. Oh, it was what the fuck are you thinking? Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
So did that work out for you, John? Did that work out for you, Besha?
John was the most direct person in that particular clusterfuck of a dating situation. Everyone else was like, oh, can he not come over to the house anymore?
Oh, goodness.
So Besha did stop seeing the guy eventually.
Yeah, sometimes that realness helps.
Hey,
not always.
Right.
Not for everybody.
Vindicated.
Yeah, good work.
Amazing. All right, what if I warp us up a little bit to product?
Spray lube?
Yes.
Oh, I have some.
Self-explanatory.
I got it from a Lyft driver.
So this already exists.
Well, I mean, it wasn't very effective, and it was just this one brand. I think the trick is finding the right pump that will actually spray the product, whatever its viscosity. So I was in a Lyft, and I was on my way to Sex Answer, and was telling the guy what I did, and he was like, oh, I run a lube company. Here, have a free sample.
Only in San Francisco.
In a spray bottle. I know. And I almost didn't tell him where I was going because I didn't want it to get weird in the lift. Mm-hmm. But then it got even weirder, and it was great.
Weird in a good way.
It doesn't work very well, though. It does not spray. It's a silicone lube, and it just kind of...
Oh, yeah, well then... But
what if it was like those olive oil spritzers?
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea.
That might be the...
Like, I think that was what it was, is that you want to be able to kind of just spray
target.
It on without having to, like, you know, like where you get your, I mean, nobody can see me doing this on the podcast, but where you kind of,
it's
like, have to rub
your
hands. Yeah.
And then there's probably too much, and also anything else you touch.
Exactly.
It's slippery then.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to choose my own lube, you know, I have preferences.
Exactly. So, yeah, like a little spray canister, you just kind of apply to the zone, and then you're good.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's sexy or not is a totally different question.
Look, there's ways. I'm sure that there are ways to make that sexy.
One of the tips that we use at Spissy's with water-based lube is you can keep a little spray bottle next to the bed full of water to rehydrate it and keep going. We're like, we always say this, and I don't think anybody has ever fucking done it, because why would you keep a spray bottle next to your bed?
Like, for a naughty cat?
And do you have to, like...
Oh, yeah!
Plus, the water will go stale, so you have to, like, change it regularly, and then you're like, oh... Wait, hold on. Stay there. I'm going to change the water in my spray bottle so we can rehydrate this water-based lube.
I honestly could see Michael doing that. 100%. Anxious nerds. Target audience.
That's true. Mm. That's true.
Excellent. What else have we got here? I have so many stupid products.
Slightly psychic cocktails?
That was a riff, I think, on the... I think it's just called slightly psychic paper that the doctor carries in Doctor Who. It's like a...
I don't think that paper is slightly psychic. I think it's just psychic paper, isn't it?
It might be. Well, these are slightly psychic cocktails. They read your mind before you drink them and configure themselves to be whatever you most want at that moment. That's not a thing that can actually exist, except perhaps in a science fiction story.
I'd read that story.
Seems like that would fit in Mass Effect.
It's true. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that would.
Yeah, when you're in the gallery and you're, like, mixing the...
Oh, yeah. So what is a solar cell tree?
Ah.
I have an idea, but I want to know what you think.
Well, I think there are actually people working on this now, where it's...
A solar cell tree.
Yes.
I'm going to repeat that.
Yes. Well, because, right, like, the idea is basically just that we already have... structures that exist out there in the world whose sole job is to harvest solar energy, and they're called trees and leaves, right? Like, that's their whole deal.
Sure.
They so why don't we make solar cells that are sort of like in the shape of leaves that attach to structures that are like trees, but not just like trees. I mean, like, pick a tree and copy that shit. Just because, like, evolution has already determined sort of like the most efficient, like, you know, form factor for harvesting solar radiation. Why don't we copy
those?
That
makes sense. I've always been kind of mystified by the fact that solar panels are unidirectional.
Well, I think it's
unless
just,
they tilt.
Yeah, I mean, right, they tilt and they rotate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I think, honestly, I mean, the reason we haven't done solar cell trees is probably just because solar cells are expensive and hard to make.
They're getting cheaper.
That's true.
And thinner.
But it's probably easier to make them at least a certain minimum size to get all the bits in there. I don't really know how solar cells work.
I would imagine that, like, cutting them into the shapes of leaves is probably not, it's probably a non-starter.
I work in the solar industry and I couldn't tell you. I mean, I have no idea.
But so, that was my idea. And I feel like I've seen somewhere, like, that somebody is working on this, but I don't know exactly who.
How about the Trill Symbiont Dildo?
I need to point out that this was
a Trill Symbiont Dildo. Oh,
yes.
That's idea. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
A hero.
I mean, look, if you watch a lot of Star Trek, especially Deep Space Nine, you know that there is a species called the Trill, who are a symbiont species. They're humanoid, but they also have, some of them have this worm-like symbiont in their chest cavity that is essentially immortal.
No! Nope. No! Nope.
You'll have to take
this
conversation. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't my idea.
Oh, no.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, no.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Fernet for Loco.
Fernet
for
Loco.
Loco.
Great.
I mean,
that's
what could
a really
go wrong?
Good idea.
What could fucking go wrong?
This is definitely what I would call a San Francisco specific beverage.
Yeah.
But yes, it's Four Loco that is Fernet flavored. I mean, Four Loco itself is no longer a thing, right? I mean, like, Four Loco in its classic form is no longer
right.
a thing. But I am sure that you could, for at least a couple of months, get away with a product that is similar to, that is similar to classic Four Loco, that is only flavored with Fernet, that I guarantee you would appeal to almost nobody. Except
limited,
San Francisco.
Yeah, very limited market.
Well, some of the existing flavors of Four Loko are fruit punch, watermelon, uva berry, which is apparently grape, blue hurricane, mango, gold.
What does a blue hurricane taste like?
I don't know, but gold. I have more questions about gold.
That's a good question.
So, I don't know if you could really go wrong with Fernet flavored, like cough syrup.
Could it be worse?
Gold and hurricane.
Fernet is already pretty much as bad as it gets.
No, it's great. Are you kidding?
I
it tastes like a like mossy earth.
Which
that
is
New Year's 2011. Out. Never forget.
To me, that's not a flavor that I want in my mouth.
Nope.
But you know what? I mean, it takes all kinds.
You know what? I want to eat a forest. Don't shit on my parade. Fuck you.
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry to. I don't want to limit your agency.
There, please don't shame my kinks, John.
There are plenty of other Fernets, not just Fernet Branca, by the way. It is actually a genre of aperitif.
Oh.
I feel like I'm comfortable flavor kink shaming.
But Amaro. Digestif. That's the
Digestif.
Word.
Mm.
There are other digestifs that exist that I have had. Underberg is a thing that I generally tend to have at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, it's supposed to help. I don't know if it does, but it's also kind of nasty, so I'm happy to only have it once a year.
Wikipedia says the smell of Fernet Branca has been described as like black licorice-flavored Listerine. And I think that says everything you need to know about it. Kate, you're wrong.
That person is wrong.
Your opinion is wrong.
No, I'm always right.
This is on Wikipedia.
The
all right?
Resource.
All right?
Source of all knowledge.
You got a problem with that? You go put citation needed on that quote.
I fucking will. Wait, just wait. Check it in 2 hours.
People, we are at the 20-minute mark. Are we good? I think that we have covered a breadth of potential ideas.
We have. If somebody can't make money out of one of these ideas, then
I don't know what to tell you.
God, I'm an idiot.
Before we end, let's talk terrible recommendations.
John, you look like you have a terrible recommendation.
You know what? I don't know if I would qualify this as a terrible recommendation, but this is a thing that I've been doing lately. My computer is not a bad enough dude to play XCOM 2, but I have been playing a lot of XCOM Enemy Within, which is, I believe, a 3-year-old video game, but something that I like to do. So lots of people like to it's a game where you command a squad of soldiers who are battling aliens that are invading Earth. It's turn-based. It's fantastic. And it gives you the ability to customize the names of your troops. Lots of people tend to name their troops after their friends, which is funny, except for the part where they get killed, which happens a lot in XCOM games.
Kate has died of cholera.
Well, no, more like Kate had her head blown off by an alien... A psychic alien that just decided it had enough of her bullshit.
Whatever, I went out with Gloria.
That's a thing that I respect. But something that I've been doing in my new playthrough of Enemy Within is naming all of my troops after celebrities.
Oh, there you go.
And I find that to be incredible. Lupita Nyong'o is currently my most deadly sniper.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in character for sure.
That's legit.
She also speaks Russian. One thing about the game is that whenever you give a soldier orders, they usually have something that they say, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I'm doing it, or I'm going over
there.
Yes. Which gets incredibly repetitive if you're just listening to them speak English. Mm-hmm. But with Enemy Within, which I'm not sure that happened with Enemy Unknown, which was the original version of the game, in Enemy Within, you can actually choose the language they speak. So Lupita is Russian. I've got a German Anna Kendrick, who is also an 8-foot-tall cyborg.
Great.
I've got that. Yeah. I've got my version of Chris Pine is a similar cyborg, and he speaks Italian. It's pretty awesome. I recommend it wholeheartedly.
This is actually not a terrible idea, and I'm going to start adopting it in Crusader Kings, because I keep forgetting who's who, because they've all got the same damn, like, medieval Irish names or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to name them. I thought about naming them like A, B, C, D for each generation so that I could keep them straight, but that's not working either. So naming them after celebrities may be the way to go. My terrible idea is download Crusader Kings and play it. I have logged 133 hours on Steam playing this fucking game.
I'd like to suggest Naked Dodgeball.
Oh, God. Wow.
Hold up.
I can't think of anything more designed to highlight every insecurity someone has.
Dangerous, too.
Is this an actual game that you've played?
No. It's just saying.
You get,
think about it.
You hope you don't get pip-last, you're naked, and you get hit in the head. A lot.
A lot. Or other more vulnerable parts of the body.
Yeah, I'm just saying, give it a try.
That might be the most terrible recommendation we've had so far.
It's a terrible idea. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Anytime. Call me up. I got lots of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, and variations thereupon, this has been Idea Factory Giveaway. I'm John Sun.
And I'm Basha.
And I'm Kate. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't be. That was fantastic.
And
have a good one. Do-do. Do-do. Do-do.